Here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is gonna be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everyone, to the Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. Glad to be with you today. It is the Packers and the Bears on Sunday. It is truly a big matchup for both teams. The Packers, they need a win. They've lost three in a row. They stand at 4-4. The Bears, at 3-5, would like to pick up a win against their division rival at home. So both teams hungry for a victory this week. I will say this. If the Packers lose to the Bears in Chicago, you can flush their season right down the old crap because they'll be 4-5 with a backup quarterback, and that's not good. It has become obvious that Coach Mike McCarthy cannot win without Aaron Rodgers unless Matt Flynn is on the bench, and he's not. He does not have any wins with a backup quarterback other than Matt Flynn. And this has just been, you know, Rodgers goes down and the whole team goes down. It shouldn't be like that. I'm going to talk to you about backup quarterbacks right now. You know, instead of developing these guys, I say you go get an old guy like a Favre or a Matt Hasselbeck or, you know, one of the that's at the end of his career and just looking to ride the bench until an opportunity comes up. And then he can get in there. And he knows the game. He's played the game. He's been to the big games. George Blanda, when he played for the Raiders, he was 80 years old, and he won games when they needed him to. He had the experience. Those are the guys you want on the bench. Forget about developing talent. All it results in is losses. You know, actually, Brett Hundley, I bet you he wishes he'd have just sat on the bench and not had to play because he'd be a sought-after free agent next year. But now he's played, he shows that he's not that good, and everybody's saying, well, give him time. Well, he's had 2 years sitting on the bench learning. He's had the early part of this year before the Rodgers injury, and we have lost three games in a row with him starting. So let's see what happens. And the Packer running game, you know, their rookie Aaron Jones a couple weeks ago was running for 100-some yards. Last week it was under 20. For running for under 20 yards, and it, you don't need Aaron Jones. You could stick George Jones in there.
He stopped loving her today.
Or Tom Jones, for that matter.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa!
Or if you're in a real pinch, Shirley Jones. How about that? All right. Well, last year the Packers were 4-6, and Aaron Rodgers said, you know, we're going to run the table. And they did, and they made it to the NFC Championship game. The Packers lose this week. They're 4-5, and I don't think all of that is going to occur 2 years in a row, especially with a backup quarterback. And I tell you, Aaron Rodgers' play has really saved Mike McCarthy and Dom Capers' jobs. Let's look at it. The defense has been bad for a long time, but Rodgers has made up for it with scoring a lot of points, and McCarthy has shown that his coaching is not that good when Aaron Rodgers isn't on the field. I know a lot of people say, well, you can't expect a backup to come in. You shouldn't lose every game, though, and that's what's happening right now. So, big game at Soldier Field. Now let's hear from Brett Hundley. He says the Packers need to score. I agree.
Be more efficient. And, you know, the name of the game is points and winning. And we, you know, once you get into the rhythm, you know, it all depends on how the game's going and sort of what we're doing. But once you get into that rhythm and you get into that red zone, you know, you got to score points. That's, you know, where it shows when you've driven the field that long. You know, you just got to get some points on the board. And that's the big sort of thing that we're emphasizing this week is, you know, third down. And when we get in there, score, put some points up.
Receiver Randall Cobb says The receivers want to put this on their shoulders. They need to be make big plays and score. Here's Randall Cobb.
I think it's big plays. We always talk about it in the receiver room. The team goes through us. When we're able to make those big plays, I think it provides a spark for this team, not only offensively, but throughout the entire team. And, you know, I put that on my shoulders. I talk about it all the time. Like, I got to break more tackles. I don't believe I've been the player that I need to be for this team. And once I break tackles, Jordy and Devontae make break tackles, that energy will build, and I think it will continue throughout the course of the season. And it's on our shoulders. I'm putting it on the three of us.
So coming up on the show, Steve Leventhal from Hallis Hall will be next with audio from the Bears midweek press conference. Also, Mike Perlow late in the show with Steve on fantasy football. Jeff Rich from the Sports Byline USA Network on games around the rest of the league. Doug Russell from WTMJ on Packers football. And John Poulter, our professor of sports on hockey, data in the show. So hang on with us. It's a sports report.
Did you know that the average yearly repair bill for a car 5 years or older is more than $1,200? Having repair coverage for your car just makes sense, but the trick is not to overpay for it. With Toco Warranty, you can get a highly rated vehicle protection plan usually for less than a tank of gas per month. And now, we're offering a zero down payment program. To get a great car vehicle protection plan at a super low price, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to work on your interviews.
My interviews? What do I got to do?
You're going to have to learn your cliches. You're going to have to study them. You're going to have to know them. They're your friends. We got to play them one day at a time.
It's pretty boring.
Of course it's boring. That's the point. Write it down. I'm just happy to be here. Hope I can help the ball club. I just want to give it my best shot. And the good Lord willing, things will work out.
Hi there, this is Chris Berman from ESPN. Hey, Packer Dave, I know you know about the frozen tundra, but about the rest of the football, do a little boning up, eh?
I've been boning up, and what I found is you have to score points in order to win games. Packers sit at 4-4. They play the Bears at 3-5 at Soldier Field on Sunday, 12 noon kickoff at Soldier Field. And Green Bay needs to put up some points. Brent Huntley needs to score. And Hallis Hall is where he goes each week. He is Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave, do you miss Chris Berman?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, he's still around, and you'll see him here and there. But, you know, I thought what he and Tom Jackson did over all those years was really, you know, professional, entertaining. You know, all the things this show is not.
That we're not, right?
Exactly. All right, so you went Wednesday to Hallis Hall. Tell us what the vibe is there at 3-5 for the Bears.
Well, the vibe is, of course, how are they doing after the bye week? What have they done to prepare for this game? The conversations, of course, around the continuing development of Mitch Trubisky and, of course, facing the Packers without, you know, Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so John Fox comments on the differences from the first game the Packers and Bears played this year. That was a Thursday night game. And on Green Bay's quarterback situation with Brett Hundley.
You know, we got a different quarterback. You know, I think that's an obvious one. You know, I think we've you know, improved on defense, even though in that game, you know, I don't know that we were really tested. I know it was 35 points allowed, but there were numerous short fields. You know, so it's, I think both teams have changed, you know, and that's why we play the game. Well, I watched him while he was in UCLA, and Jim Moore's a good friend. I actually saw him play live before. He's very athletic. He can make all the throws from a skill set standpoint. You know, I think, again, he's a young quarterback in their system, much like ours is.
Here, Mitch Trubisky talks about the next step in his development.
Just learned from the past four games. I'm pretty anxious and excited about this week. I kind of feel like it's a new season in a way. Just the last games, they are what they are. But this, we have a great opportunity with coming up next at this home game. Just take it one game at a time. Trying to be 1-0 this week. We're only worried about the Green Bay Packers. So, yeah, just trying to be 1-0 and learn from your mistakes and just keep getting better each and every single week. And I feel very confident and I'm very excited to really just start to open things up and really just play with myself and the offense and do my job so the offense can succeed and we could win more games.
Do you understand the depth of this rivalry and the history and what a win over Green Bay would mean to the fan base right now?
Yeah, I'm starting to figure out. It's a pretty big deal. But no matter who our opponent is, we're trying to be 1-0 each week. But I know this is a big rivalry for the fans in the city of Chicago, so we're just going to go out and give it everything we got and hopefully we come out on the good side of it.
Yeah, and they're trying to, again, you know, sort of dummy down the offense a little bit. They need to open it up. But the interesting thing in this game is going to be, you know, the Packers, despite all their woes, they still have a pretty good run defense. And, of course, the Bears' offense revolves around the run, you know, with Jordan Howard. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, Detroit may have passed all over the field against the Packers, but they really only they gave up less than 100 yards on the ground. So it's going to be interesting to see, even though the Bears are favored in this game. I'm not so sure about that. If anything, it'd probably be like a really low-scoring game, you know, 17-10, 14-10, 20-17, something like that.
Now in the rest of the division, the Vikings play the Redskins. That should be a good game. And Mike Zimmer comments on Sam Bradford's status.
Yeah, it's disappointing. You know, the guy worked extremely hard to try to get back. He spent a whole bunch of his own money trying everything, and it just didn't work out. So hopefully we'll be able to get him back when he gets healthy. You know, it was just lingering. You know, we thought it was going to be a one-week deal, and then it was two, and then it was three, and then it's eight. So, you know, nothing else was working, and we just had to try something.
Mike, how do you kind of balance the reps in practice with Teddy and Casey?
Pretty much the same way we've been doing all along. He gets a few every period. You know, just trying to get him up to speed as fast as possible.
The Lions take on the Cleveland Browns, and Matthew Stafford talks about staying fresh and not looking ahead.
You do that, you start getting in trouble. And, you know, I've been a part of some really good second halves of the season and some not. So the times that we've played well, we've taken it one game at a time and really put our full focus in on every single opponent that we play, which is what we'll do this week and hopefully throughout the rest of the year. You know, I think Coach does a great job starting in training camp, you know, structuring practice and the way we go about our schedule to help guys stay fresh throughout the season as much as possible. That and, you know, the way we practice. You know, when you have good practices, you're going to go out there and play well. And you know, guys feeling good and feeling fresh this time of year is a positive.
Now, Steve had a chance to catch up with Doug Russell from WTMJ in Milwaukee, the Packer flagship radio station, talking about the Bears and their opponent this week, the Green Bay Packers.
Your take on Brent Hundley and how he's doing?
I think that he's progressing. Certainly, we saw a better performance against the Lions on Monday Night Football than we did against the Saints in his first start. There's still a long ways to go, but look, I mean, you can't replace arguably the best player in the NFL, certainly a top five quarterback, no question about that, with someone who hasn't taken really a meaningful snap in a meaningful game in what, four seasons since he was at UCLA. That's just not realistic for anybody anywhere in football to do. So, you know, look, he's making progress, he's getting better, but it's almost impossible to replace a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who's still a quarterback that's at the top of his game.
Will the Packers make the playoffs, and what would it take for the Packers to make the playoffs?
I think it's going to be very difficult for the Packers to make the playoffs this season. They've already lost the last three games. They've lost to the Vikings. They've lost to the Lions, two teams obviously in the same division in the NFC North. That makes it a lot harder. They're two games right now behind Minnesota. They're tied with Detroit. The Lions starting to play a little bit better football. The schedule is favorable, I suppose you could say, for the Packers. They still have Baltimore at home, and they're having a down season. They have Tampa Bay at home, and they've had a disappointing season. They have to go to Cleveland. Cleveland's terrible, as everyone knows. But if you look at the last three games of the year, you know that's going to be daunting. You're at Carolina, then you're at home against the division leaders, against the Vikings, then you have to travel to Detroit on New Year's Eve. I think that's going to be exceptionally difficult for the Packers to make it to the playoffs. But the only hope that I think they have is if Aaron Rodgers can come back. I don't think that he can. He is optimistic, but that's just kind of how Aaron Rodgers is. He's just an optimistic kind of guy, especially when it comes to his own injuries. That having been said, this is a team that hasn't won a football game now in more than a month. And things are trending downward. Their defense, which doesn't have anything to do with Aaron Rodgers, is ranked 24th in the NFL. They're not able to really stop anybody. There's just too much dysfunction on this team right now for them to realistically be considered a team that you could expect to see in January. So I think it'll be a very difficult row for them to hoe, even if Aaron Rodgers does come back, because those last three games of the season, those are arguably three of the most difficult games on the Packers schedule. So I think it's going to be tough for them to be playing into January this year.
Well, you mentioned the defense. How can that defense improve?
Boy, isn't that the $64,000 question? Clay Matthews looks like his best football is well in the rearview mirror. Nick Perry has been healthy this year. He had a breakout season a year ago, but has somehow regressed. It's just not a defense that is right now playing at a very high level. And again, just look at the numbers. I mean, that's not even really opinion. That's math. And the math says that the Packers defense leaves a lot to be desired. I mean, this is a team that is giving up, you know, points in the high 20s and low 30s pretty consistently. I mean, they gave up 34 to the Falcons. They gave up 30 to the Lions. They gave up 31 to the Cowboys. They gave up 24 points to the Bengals, for crying out loud. And Cincinnati's awful. So, look, I mean, this is a team, like I said, as far as player personnel, there's a lot of dysfunction right now. They're not playing very good football. And this is the time of year where you need to play good football. I mean, they came off the bye week just as absolutely flat as you could possibly be. I mean, the final score was 30-17 against the Lions. Don't forget, the Packers' last score came on an untimed down because of a defensive penalty at the end of the game. It was cosmetic at best. It should have been a 30-10 game. So, as far as what can the defense do to improve, play better. And they haven't been able to do that yet.
Okay, what does the loss of Rodgers, how is that affecting McCarthy's job coaching this team?
Anytime you take away a top-tier player, it's going to affect the offensive play caller. In this case, it's Mike McCarthy. It's not going to affect his job security or anything like that. I know that that's a popular fodder for post-game call-in shows. And certainly last week against the Lions, we got plenty of phone calls on our post-game show on the Packers Radio Network that was calling for wholesale changes, including Mike McCarthy's head on a platter. The fact of the matter is, there have been almost 500 coaches in the NFL, and Mike McCarthy's winning percentage is better than all but a small handful of them. This is a guy who's won an extraordinary amount of football games over the years. He's more than 50 games over 500 as the Packers head coach. So he's not going anywhere from that perspective. But, of course, it's going to affect how he calls plays because he has to now try to maximize what he can get out of Brett Hundley as opposed to knowing what he's got with Aaron Rodgers. It's still a work in progress. With Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy knows full well what number 12 can do. When it comes to Brett Hundley, it's still a bit of a mystery as to what number 7 can do. So that's going to affect his play calling, and he knows that he doesn't have the same type of weaponry that he has with Aaron Rodgers. So what plays can you call? What plays do you shy away from? What plays do you avoid altogether? Absolutely. That's certainly going to affect the kind of game that Mike McCarthy can play and the kind of game that he can call. And it can't be as aggressive as it would be if Aaron Rodgers were still the quarterback.
So last question, what is your prediction as to what's going to happen on Sunday at Soldier Field?
I hate predictions because I'm always wrong. The Bears are a 5.5-point favorite. I think that Chicago certainly has its own question marks as well. Playing with a young quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky, they're still kind of learning their offense. That having been said, I mean, the Packers just aren't playing at an elite level right now. They're not playing good football on either side of the ball. If you're looking for a prediction, I guess I would say Bears in a close one. They're at home. Certainly that will favor them. But, you know, it's just one of those things where you line them up on Sunday and you can be surprised. So I always try to shy away from predictions for a number of reasons. But if I'm a betting man, which I'm not, but if I were, I guess I'd say Chicago.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Bye.
Absolutely. All right. We'll see you.
Now to talk about the Bears and the Packers and the rest of the NFL, we bring in from the Sports Byline USA Network. You can hear him on Sports Overnight America, and that is 10 to midnight Pacific time 1-3 Eastern Time at sportsbyline.com. He is Jeff Rich. Jeff, welcome to the show.
I love when you give out the times, especially after the time changes. You know, us here in Central and Mountain Time get neglected sometimes when we talk about what goes on from 10 p.m. to midnight Pacific time. But it's a pleasure to be here. I look forward to another great weekend of football.
Okay, and you're on until 1 now, right? 1 a.m.
I am locally, I am on from 11 to 1 here in the Valley of the Sun. We don't observe daylight saving here in the state of Arizona, so we're probably the most affected by the clock change when you really think about it, at least if you're working on a national basis.
Yeah, it doesn't change for us here, but for a guy like you that does network radio, it changes your whole nighttime routine. What are they doing to you with this daylight savings time? Okay, let's look at the Packers and the Bears, Jeff. Packers, couple losses in a row, no Aaron Rodgers. The Bears, Mitch Trubisky, young quarterback. They're at 3-5. The Packers are 4-4. Does anybody care about this game, I guess, is one question.
My first thought would be no. You know, you know, I look at every Wednesday, the maps come out for regional viewing. It doesn't really affect me because, you know, I'm a Sunday ticket subscriber like most NFL fans that have DirecTV.
Wow.
But when you look at it, usually you're going to have national interest, and they often try to throw Bears Packers into primetime TV just because of it, you know, and it was on primetime, I believe, on Thursday Night Football.
Yes.
A little bit earlier in the season. But this game is only really available to you in Wisconsin and Illinois if you don't have that Sunday ticket subscription, which tells you how quickly games like this can fall off the table when you lose a guy like Aaron Rodgers in this matchup.
Shocking.
Well, you know, the Packers at 4-4 now, they need the win. I think they get the Bears at a good time when they need a win. I mean, it's always nice to have the Bears roll around when you need a win. The Bears' offense, just trouble, though. Last week, the defense played well, gave them a few opportunities. Special teams did its job, but the Bears' offense just can't produce, and it looks like the same thing is happening for Green Bay. I mean, they scored some points later in the game after it was out of reach against Detroit last week, but neither of these offenses is going to scare anybody at this point.
I wouldn't think so. You know, Mike McCarthy doesn't want to put it on Hundley, then he's got to put it on himself for not giving Hundley the opportunities to go out there and sink or swim. I thought that the offense was rather basic in the first half last week, and we expected, you know, in a primetime game that it was going to, you know, they might flip the script a little bit and let him open it up. He's got a great arm, but we haven't gotten the opportunity to see it. And maybe it's just his lack of understanding of the offense and what year three there for the Green Bay Packers, where he hasn't really been called upon except in this situation where Aaron Rodgers is unable to go.
Well, in his conference on Wednesday, John Fox, he actually had praise for Hundley, said he saw him when he was at UCLA, said he's friends with Jim Mora, and actually went to some of the games and saw him live. So, you know, he does seem to favor him.
Has he seen him lose the last three games for Green Bay? Did he comment on that at all?
No, but I'm sure he did watch the tape of the last game.
I didn't watch him at UCLA. I don't watch much college ball, but I wish I did because he might have won a couple games there. I haven't seen a win yet, and we need one bad this week. And, you know, he threw for more yards last week, so that's a positive. No points, though, but no turnovers. We got to see a win. All right, Jeff, let's look at some of the other games on the slate. Which ones look like good ones? Dallas at Atlanta. That's a late game on Fox. Atlanta's just not the team they were last year. What happened there?
Maybe they peaked a little bit. Maybe they played a little bit out of their element a year ago. Yeah, that NFC South is very interesting. You know, you have New Orleans and Carolina at the top. I think the Carolina is the class of that division, but they haven't gone out of their way to show it. And that lets teams like the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints hang around, despite the fact that, you know, if you've seen them, they don't really pass the eyeball test.
New England at Denver is the NBC Sunday night game. Denver, all kinds of trouble. But Tom Brady doesn't really play that well at Denver and has lost a lot of games there. Does Denver have a chance?
The Patriots are coming off a bye week, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick the last I checked, so no.
No chance. Okay. The Vikings.
Negative chance.
What? Steve, it looks like you want to talk.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, the Broncos are a 7.5-point underdog in that game.
Well, I would imagine at least that. Okay. Minnesota at Washington. This is going to be a good one, I think. Both teams playing very well, and the Vikings atop the NFC North. Teams like the Packers and the Bears could use a Minnesota loss. Is it going to happen this week at Washington, Jeff?
You know, Washington's a tough team to gauge. Gruden's been very inconsistent with that team. Kirk Cousins is always playing for a contract, so you have him effectively perpetually in a walk year, so Washington's always a dangerous out.
Okay, that is very true. He is always playing for his contract. All right, you mentioned the Saints, New Orleans at Buffalo. Maybe in week two or three, you wouldn't have thought that was a real attractive game, but it is this week. And I am liking the Buffalo Bills in this one at home. Your thoughts?
You know what? Cooperative radio doesn't really sell very well, Packer Dave, but I'm all over the Buffalo Bills.
What's cooperative radio? What's that?
I think he means when
we don't disagree. It's the opposite of what happens all of the time with you and Leventhal there.
Okay, so you like the Bills, and the Saints are playing well, though.
I think that they are. I still don't think that they can play defense worth a lick, but they figured out a way to put it together. Maybe it's just a weak schedule, or maybe they're a little bit better than anybody, including myself, is giving them credit for.
Okay.
And I don't know how much the weather affects that game. Of course, it is in Buffalo, and it's going to be cold all weekend out in the Northeast.
You know, that's football, though, Steve.
Yeah, that's football, Steve. Miami at Carolina on the Monday night game.
They did this with the Heat a couple of years ago, and I remember it was your running shtick that, you know, can we please stop putting the Miami Heat on national television? Can I bring that sentiment back from 2007 and say, can we please stop seeing the Miami Dolphins on primetime TV? We've got better things to do, quite frankly.
Well, Monday night, you know, that used to be the marquee game, but now the Sunday night game is, and so sometimes you get good ones on Monday night. I thought last Monday, the Packers and the Lions, you know, a pretty good national game. Miami at Carolina, I don't know what viewership is going to be on that one. Okay, Steve, now we commented on Dallas and Atlanta, and Jason Garrett comments on his quarterback, Dak Prescott.
His decision-making has been excellent. His ability to make plays, both little plays and big plays, has been excellent. Been really, really good in situational football. We've been good on third downs in the red zone. He's certainly a big part of that, and maybe as much as anything else, for me, for the coaches, and for his teammates, his leadership is off the charts. The guys look to him. They rally around him. He's just got a way about him that guys respond to, and they play well around him, and he's very productive. His execution helps his leadership, but also he just has a great spirit, so he's certainly playing very well right now. His preparation leading up to a ball game is second to none. He watches the game from the previous Sunday early on, well before we would watch it with the team, and he's on to the next opponent quickly. And he's a really good note taker, and he's a very detailed guy, and works very hard in his preparation, and he knows that frees him up to play as well as he can on Sunday.
You got to be impressed, Dave, with what he's been doing this year.
Now, Tom Brady's playing in Denver, as we discussed, and he admits for him it's a tough place to play.
I think they've had good teams. I mean, really, it's playing a really, obviously you play on the road, it's tough communication-wise, but when you play good teams, I think the margin of error is even more slim. And this team's always had, a good football team. I mean, they've been good in all phases, well-coached, good players, good offenses, defenses, kickers. A lot of the games have been close. So it's just, there's a little margin of error when you go out there, and, we're going to have to play good. They got a great defense, they got great players on both sides of the ball, and, you can't go out there and make a bunch of mistakes and expect to win. Yeah, every team, I think at this point, all these wins are important for every team. I mean, no one likes to lose. Obviously, we feel that way. We've been, lost a game. There's definitely urgency, and you learn a lot from the losses, and everyone wants to get the bad taste out of their mouth. And, anytime, you lose, that's how you feel. I'm sure they feel that way. We felt that way this year, and it's still going to come down to how well you prepare and play this particular week, what happened last week or next week. Is it going to matter much? It's really what we do this week. So, we're going to have to play good, to beat them. But, hopefully we can go execute and make a bunch of plays and take care of a lot of things for us.
The Steelers take on the Colts this week, and Big Ben talks about his offensive line and playing in the Dome in Indy.
I think I've got the best line in the business. People want to talk about some of the other ones out there, but I'll put my guys up against anybody anytime, whether it's run blocking, pass blocking. Obviously not giving up any sacks. That makes me feel better. It makes my wife and the rest of my family feel better, too.
But would you investigate regarding your game and the time off? What would you look at and what would you find out?
Nothing. I didn't look at it once. Decided to just move on and go to the second half of football.
And pros and cons of playing in a dome, especially in Indy?
Pros, you got perfect weather. Cons, it can be really loud. And which then in turn dictates sometimes that the ends and the D-line can get a better rush on you.
It'll be interesting to see which Pittsburgh team shows up, the one that's been rolling over everybody or the one that's been laying over to everybody.
Now let's turn this over to an area that you are knowledgeable in. There's one. Now, here's a couple. Jeff, Steve's pretty good with college basketball and college football and soccer and golf. That's where he excels.
Really tearing up the, you know, really getting into the mind of the typical jeans and t-shirt sports fan there.
That's right. Blue collar, light beer, radio.
So if he doesn't seem like he knows that much about the NFL, and he doesn't, don't make it think that he doesn't know things about other sports like college football.
Well, I'm learning lot more about the NFL with this, playing the daily fantasy sports. I've watched probably more NFL in the last 2 years than probably in the previous 15 or 16.
I am prohibited from playing daily fantasy sports, both probably by the spouse, but also by the state of Arizona. We're not welcome into that realm of DraftKings and FanDuel and whatnot.
Oh, that means I was going to give Dave some picks. I guess he's going to have to do it here before I get down to Arizona.
I had a friend in from New York that was surprised that his account was registered to New York, but it wouldn't let him set a lineup from the state of Arizona. You know, they track your location. They make sure that you're not breaking our great Arizona laws here.
Yeah, it's the same thing in Nevada. I had to actually log into my computer at home to set a soccer lineup once. But I know that, Dave, I know you find this riveting. But
weren't we trying to move into college football about 8 or 9 minutes ago?
Sure. All right. So let's say, you know, look at a couple of these matchups here. Number one, Georgia traveling down to Auburn. That should be a good game. What do you think on that one?
Yeah, the game's at Jordan-Hare. I think that they got Alabama at home for the Iron Bowl as well. So Auburn's got a good chance, but they lose to Georgia. I think that Alabama walks into that SEC championship game to take on the Bulldogs and what could be a battle of undefeated teams.
Okay, and in a game, Dave, you might be interested in, Iowa is going up to Camp Randall to play Wisconsin. And, you got an 8, and Iowa's just been surprising. Look what they did to Ohio State.
Yeah, they were hot. And the Badgers are undefeated, but everybody says they haven't played anybody.
They will, though. College football figures itself out. That's why I hate these rankings coming out on Halloween, when you have so many games in between here and there that, you're undefeated like Miami and Wisconsin at 8 and 9, and you've got teams with losses in front of you. I think that these rankings coming out, because you're treating it like Miami and Wisconsin have to make up ground, but really all they have to do is play out their full schedule. And I think a Big Ten championship game against a Penn State or an Ohio State, hopefully not Michigan State, if you are Wisconsin and you have aspirations on that college football playoff. But let the games play out. College football tends to reveal itself very often when you have multiple teams at the top of the heap on the national scene.
Jeff Rich with us from the Sports Byline USA Network. And the big games don't stop there, though, Steve.
Oh, no, we got some more. Michigan State going down to the Horseshoe down there in Columbus to play Ohio State. Another one of these. But you're right, they're all going to settle out. But what do you think about this game?
Michigan State plays a lot better at home. They've knocked off Iowa at home. They've knocked off Penn State at home. Going on the road, I think they're a different animal. I think the real question here is, how does Ohio State rebound from getting trounced by 31 points for the second time in less than a calendar year?
Yeah, well, they might take it out on the Spartans. Okay, the last two games, the big games. So Oklahoma and TCU. And just before you address that game, what about that shootout that they had in Stillwater last weekend with like over 100 points and over 1,000 yards of total offense?
You know, it was an exciting game, you know, and it was kind of like playing NFL Blitz back in the day where the quarters were really short, where if you didn't score on every possession, you had any kind of a turnover or a loss, you know, loss of possession on downs, you were just done. And I think down three, Mason Rudolph threw an interception into the end zone, and Oklahoma went back down the field and made it a 10-point, you know, it ended up being a 10-point swing, and that's what really ended up being the result in the game. But I'd like to see some defense get played every now and again, and that's why I prefer the likes of the Big Ten and the ACC to what we're seeing in the Big 12 and the Pac 12.
No, if you want to see some defense, just watch Alabama. They're incredible on defense.
Yeah, but who have they played? I mean, you're going to knock Wisconsin and Miami for playing a weak schedule. Alabama, really, the Iron Bowl is going to be their first competitive game. The SEC championship will be their second one, considering that Florida State laid a clunker this season.
Okay, and the last game to talk about, probably aside from that Oklahoma game, the most anticipated matchup, it's a renewal of the old Convicts versus Catholics when Notre Dame is going down to Miami to take on the Hurricanes. And before we address that game, listen to the comments from Coach Brian Kelly.
Offensively, a new quarterback. Rozier's a gritty kid. I mean, as a first-year starter, he finds ways to make plays. He's a lot of like Brandon. When you look at him, he just, finds ways to win football games. Defensively, they lead the nation now in tackles for loss. But it's not just about talent. It's well coached. You can see that. It's a lot easier to kind of put together a bunch of talented players, but to coach them, get them in the right position, line them up, getting this group to play together with a great amount of energy. Mark's done a great job. So really good football team. Exciting. I know our guys are excited about this championship drive that they're on now. This part of the season, obviously in November, is all the teams that are in contention are focused on one game at a time, and it's single elimination for most teams.
Okay, your thoughts on that game?
A lot of respect for Mark Richt coming from Brian Kelly. Obviously they're clips, their little quotes are going to make news because of what's coming up, and ESPN continues to fuel the fire with the Catholics versus Convicts thing. This isn't Jimmy Johnson and Lou Holtz. This is a whole new thing, and I just like Mark Richt as a coach more than Brian Kelly. I probably like him more as a human being, so my heart's actually probably with the Canes here. But Notre Dame has shown that they could play on the same field with Georgia. This will be really the first test for the Miami Hurricanes. So, interesting battle. Miami gets a little bit of an edge for being at home. Notre Dame has got the precedent in the 2017 season. I like the Irish in a close one.
Jeff Rich from the Sports Byline USA Network, and you can hear him 10 to midnight Pacific time. That's 1 to 3 a.m. Eastern time at sportsbyline.com. Jeff, thanks for coming on the show, and we will do it again next week.
All right, much appreciated. Follow me on Twitter at Jeff Rich Talks.
All right. And we will be back with more on the Sports Report. Our professor of sports, John Poulter from Toronto, will join us. We'll touch on hockey when we get back on the show. Hang with us.
Have you ever been turned down, rejected, or downright denied because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. We here at National Credit Advisor can help you qualify for that new car you've been dreaming about or that new home you know you deserve. Never again be rejected because of bad credit. Just call us here at National Credit Advisor today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they could finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. We help rebuild your credit score so you can qualify for the home, car, or credit card you deserve. No matter how bad your credit is, just call 1-800-605-3081 today to see how much we can help your credit score. No one is turned away. Call now, 1-800-605-3081. That's 1-800-605-3081. Again, 1-800-605-3081.
I went to a football game, the Packers and the Bears. I got so bummed I did not know the score or even care. I threw up on a Bears fan, he said he'd call the cops. I said that's fine, but all in time now.
Please pass the shots!
Hi, this is Len Dawson, formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs. Packer Dave, you know a lot about a lot of things, but you don't know jack cheese about football.
I do know this, that Green Bay is going to go into Chicago with their second-string quarterback who hasn't won a game yet and take on the Bears and win.
Please pass the shot.
Hey, simply because they're two bad teams, but the Bears are worse. Well, that's football. Let's talk about something else right now. And to bring in our professor of sports from Toronto, John Poulter, that's what we're doing now. And John, thanks for coming on the show, but a tough week for you and the people in Toronto and around the baseball world with the tragedy with Roy Halladay.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Great to join you as always. For me personally, a pretty tough week. Roy Halladay, probably my favorite Blue Jay all time in terms of an individual, in terms of a player, somebody who I admired as a player and as a person for a lot of reasons. I guess basically because when I first started to see Roy Halladay pitch, he looked like he was the makings of a star. And I had the opportunity to be present at his second major league start, which was his very first major league win. Last game of the season, 1998, against the Detroit Tigers. A very neat, tidy, complete game victory, 2-1. Bobby Higginson hit a home run with two out in the ninth inning to break up the no-hitter. And it was pretty clear at that point that Roy Halladay was a big part of the Blue Jays' future. What we didn't know, of course, at that time was that a year or so later, he would go all the way back to A-ball to basically rebuild himself as a pitcher. And former Blue Jays pitching coach, the late Mel Queen, was the guy that helped turn him around and very quickly made him the pitcher that we all became very familiar with in a very dominant era from 2002 until he retired in 2013. And while Halladay's numbers may not look all that impressive when you look at them on paper, 203 major league victories, you have to sit back and look at the big picture. And in 16 major league seasons, an all-star eight times, a perfect game and a no-hitter in 2010, his first year with the Phillies. But we also have to keep in mind that while those numbers might not look overly impressive, they were all achieved in what we all now know as what we refer to as the steroid era. So it's hard to tell how great those numbers might have been if he had been pitching against guys that were not using any kind of performance-enhancing drugs. So great loss to baseball, great loss to his family, of course. Our condolences go out to them. But from a Toronto sports fan, I got to sit back and tell you that there's tributes flying in all over the city. I was at the Maple Leaf game on Wednesday night. There was a moment of silence. The same thing, the Raptor game on Tuesday night. Very sad day in Toronto.
Well, not only in the significance of his accomplishments, that one no-hitter was in the postseason when you know you're playing a good team.
That's exactly right. Only the second one in postseason history. Of course, Don Larsen's perfect game in 1956 being the only other one. But just an absolute master of his craft, a gentleman who did a lot for the community, especially for what's known as Sick Kids Hospital, which is the hospital for sick children here in Toronto. Had a private box that he donated $100,000 a year to at the Rogers Centre to entertain kids from that facility who had injuries, illnesses, some of them terminal, just a chance to make people happy, and great member of the community here, and perhaps one of those athletes that asked out of a contract to leave town and was still looked at very fondly when he returned. Usually when a guy asks to be traded for whatever reason, there tends to be a lot of hate against that athlete. Halladay, perhaps along with Ray Bourque of the Boston Bruins, might be the only guy that fits into that category where he was loved just as much after he left as he was when he was here.
And in some ways, you know, it reminds me of another tragedy with a beloved athlete. Think back. I know you're old enough, Dave. Maybe you remember as well, you know, when Roberto Clemente died in a plane crash, bringing relief to earthquake victims in Nicaragua back in the early 70s.
Yeah, very, very much the same thing. I think that was New Year's Eve, 1972. Great parallel, Steve. The only difference was, of course, that Clemente was still active in his career at the time of his passing.
All right, John, let's turn this to hockey now. And one team that's doing very well, or doing pretty well, is the Vegas Golden Knights. We have not talked about the Vegas Golden Knights on this program ever. So your thoughts on them?
Well, they're an interesting team. Number of factors involved here, and I had a chance to see them firsthand on Monday night. They were here in Toronto. I had the opportunity to be at the game. They're very different than the usual expansion team, certainly in hockey, and I guess perhaps in any sport. There's a number of reasons for that. Hockey being a salary cap sport, they have a chance to compete dollar-wise with every other team right off the bat. But perhaps more importantly, because they were the only team coming in to the league when they did, there was no competition in terms of drafting. The league set up a very unique process where each team had a very small protected list, and each team had to lose one player to the Golden Knights. So the pickings were far from slim. There were some good names. They drafted well. They have made some trades since then for draft picks. They made deals with teams not to take players in return for getting draft picks. All in all, a pretty good season for an expansion team.
Okay, John. And what are your thoughts as a Canadian when a market like Las Vegas gets a team?
It's not surprising. Clearly, the politics are involved here with the fact that it's new territory. I think the NHL, along with most other sports, were hoping to be the first pro sports league to get into Las Vegas. Of course, the NFL is now doing that when the Raiders will eventually move, but that's a couple of years away. I thought it was probably important for whoever got in there first to have a chance to get in there and build a fan base. Clearly, from a Canadian standpoint, there's disappointment because most of us in this country believe that Quebec is far more deserving of a team than a lot of markets in the United States. There's a brand new arena there, which, of course, there is in Las Vegas, so perhaps that's an even Steven situation. But from a Canadian standpoint, we'd all love to see the Quebec Nordiques back in the league. That great Canadian rivalry and Quebec, province of Quebec rivalry with the Montreal Canadiens. No question that a team back in Quebec would sell out 42 games a year. But Mr. Bettman wants those American teams in there. And we've got this other political issue right now with what was an imbalance between the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. There were 16 teams in the Eastern Conference, 14 in the West. Adding Vegas to the West makes it 16-15. Probably fairly safe to say that the 32nd team is also going to be a U.S. team, and Seattle, I guess, is the front runner there if they can ever get their act together in terms of an owner and an arena. But we'd all love to see a team back in Quebec. That's probably the major Canadian city right now that we're looking to in terms of perhaps being an NHL member sometime in the future. My guess is that they're leaving that as a plan B so that if perhaps a Florida Panthers or a Carolina Hurricanes team folds, they can just pick them up and move them to Quebec, much the same as they did with the Atlanta Thrashers moving to Winnipeg. There's a market and an arena already established.
Well, yeah, because especially in Carolina, you know, they're really fair weather fans there. They can't draw flies if they're not winning. So I know that my friends there do grumble about that team and the fact that they don't have a lot of fan base. So that to me would seem to be the most likely candidate if they're going to up and relocate a franchise.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you, Steve. Florida Panthers are probably a close second. They are getting some fans, but they're losing a ton of money. The owners there have very deep pockets, but to me, Carolina would be the appropriate one, and Carmonas has already made it well known that he will sell the team. In fact, I think he's officially got it for sale. So there might be some possibilities there. Certainly not going to happen this season, but it's something I would like to see. I'd love to see an eighth Canadian team. I just think it would be good for the game. I think it would bring a lot more rivalries back into the league. With all due respect to Carolina, and Steve, I know you're a Carolina native, so this will affect you. But frankly, Carolina's not hockey country. I'm not sure what kind of a following there is there. I can tell you that if it went back to Quebec, the Nordiques, which I assume they would take that name back, any pro hockey team in Quebec is going to be as revered as the Packers are in Green Bay. It's a community thing, Dave, quite seriously. Canada, as you know from spending 6 months of the year here, is a big hockey country. Hockey's as big in Canada as baseball and NFL are in the United States. And in Quebec, where it's pretty much a regional sport because there's no other pro sports played in the province of Quebec, and I discount Major League Soccer because I don't consider that to be a big league, it would just be an ideal setting. And I think Carolina might be the best target, Steve, as you've pointed out.
Well, and I think the reasoning was probably good. There's been a lot of people have moved down from up north and relocated into North Carolina. In fact, there's a suburb of Raleigh that's called Cary, and they use the acronym, the Containment Area for Relocated Yankees.
Well, that's not unlike, Arizona and to some extent years ago, Florida. Were great havens for Northeastern Americans and for Northeastern Canadians. And of course, now you've got that big population in Arizona that are ex-Chicago, ex-Detroit, anybody from the Midwest, including guys from Wisconsin. But hockey hasn't taken off in Phoenix, and it's been there 10 or 12 years. They've had a great opportunity to build that fan base. They haven't done it. I suspect we're looking at the same situation in the Carolinas.
Okay. I think it's been more. It's been a lot longer than that, hasn't it, in Phoenix? Been over like 20 years or so, hasn't it, John?
Yeah, I think I don't know the exact date, Dave, but it's been a long time. And, it's sort of become an ongoing story almost like a bad dream. We keep hearing all these stories about how bad the team is and how bad the fan base is and the ownership issues. Frankly, I'm surprised that other than Gary Bettman's stubbornness, I'm quite surprised that the league has stayed in the Phoenix area as long as it has. I think a lot of other markets they would have given up on a lot easier. And again, Atlanta is probably a prime example there. The Atlanta Thrashers were a bad team in a bad situation in a bad territory. They gave up on that pretty quickly. But Bettman seems hell-bent with staying in Phoenix, whatever his reasons are other than pride, I don't know. But it just seems to me as though that's a team that should be on the move. And that's the other good, strong possibility of relocating, Kansas City and Seattle probably being the prime two candidates in terms of landing that team if they should ever give up on the greater Phoenix area.
Our friend Les Grobstein likes to refer to Gary Bettman as Beavis Bettman.
Mm-hmm. Well, so Les and I have worked together in the past with Dave and yourself back in Chicago. And I share my theory with Les is that I'm not a big Bettman fan either. I think he's perhaps the weakest commissioner in pro sports, but for some reason or other, other than Goodell, he seems to have most of the owners following. So he's obviously putting money in their pockets. That's probably what they pay him for. So he tends to get away with an awful lot that, in my opinion, he's not a very strong commissioner.
The Winnipeg Jets moved to Phoenix on July 1st, 1996, and were renamed the Phoenix Coyotes.
There you go.
And there it is. And they're still here. So
yeah, well.
You can get a ticket there for not that much money, and you can get good seats, and it's good parking. And the area around it with the restaurants and clubs is really nice, as you know, John. But they're not the fans that they are in Toronto. I will tell you that.
And I'm going to guess, Dave, and you've been to more Phoenix Coyotes, Arizona Coyotes games than I have, so you can give me a good barometer on the crowd. But my guess would be that most people that go to a hockey game in Phoenix are transplanted Wisconsinites, transplanted Detroiters, transplanted Chicagoans. They're all fans of teams from wherever they live. And I suspect that it's probably like spring training baseball games in Arizona. You go to a ballpark in Arizona, you see as many guys from Chicago as you do from Phoenix watching the game because they're there to follow their team. And I suspect hockey's pretty much the same way.
Well, and yeah, you get a lot of the opposing fans, okay?
Exactly. That's my point, yeah.
All right, John. Well, thanks very much for your info today. We appreciate it. Do you guys want to touch a minute or two on soccer? You always do at the end of this segment.
It's an off week for soccer. It's international break. So
yeah, anything, there's no games till the 18th.
So it's all the qualifying, like England versus Scotland, that kind of stuff.
All right. Our professor of sports from Toronto, John Poulter, We will do it again next week. You take care and have a good remainder of your day.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure to join you. Appreciate the opportunity to talk about Mr. Halliday, and look forward to chatting with you down the road.
All right. And now, Mike Perlow, SRN broadcasting contributor, and Steve Leventhal talk fantasy football.
All right, Mike. Hey, we had a great week last week. Just about everything we did scored, so that was really good. And as we get ready for this week, let's talk about quarterbacks.
Loving Matt Stafford this week. Detroit's going to be hosting Cleveland, and Cleveland is a world of hurt right now. If you want another backup to Stafford, I would look the direction of Jared Goff. The Rams have been really clicking lately. They're playing Houston this week, and Goff went off with 4 passing touchdowns last week. He's really starting to get into his rhythm.
I know, and a running back, we like Leonard Fournette. What are some reasons, and then who else would be a good choice for people?
The Jaguars are running the ball more than any other team in the NFL right now. Fournette was suspended last week for bad conduct, and I look for him to come out on a mission, and he's going to be beast mode all day on Sunday. Also, a couple other interesting running backs to think through from a volume perspective. Carlos Hyde with San Fran. They've got the Giants coming to town. And I'd also look the direction of Jordan Howard. They've got Green Bay coming in, and Jordan Howard is getting the ball almost as much as Leonard Fournette, but really nice volume there.
All right, let's talk wide receivers.
Absolutely. You got to start out with the number one. That's AB, Antonio Brown. Pittsburgh had their bye last week. They're going to the Hoosier State. They're going to be in the dome playing against the Colts, and I look for Antonio to be running up and down the field all day long. More underdog-looking guy who is now the number one receiver on his team is Robbie Anderson out in New York for the Jets. They're going down to Tampa. Tampa's a bit of a mess right now with Jameis Winston out of the mix and Mike Evans suspended this week. They're not clicking on all cylinders, yet the Jets seem to find a way to win, and McCown and Anderson are connecting.
Well, I think we also like Robert Woods, Houston Texans. They're the 22nd ranked pass defense, so there should be some opportunities, although with the last couple of good weeks he has, he's obviously not a secret anymore.
The genie is out of the bottle with Robert Woods, but yeah, he's been performing in double digits 4 out of the last 4 weeks.
All right, give me 2 choices at tight end.
Well, I love Gronkowski, but he, of course, is the most expensive in FanDuel, and they'll be playing against the Denver Broncos, who are susceptible to the tight end. Another direction to go, though, is Kyle Rudolph. Vikings just came off their bye, and they're going to be visiting Washington. Washington's been giving up a lot of aerial yards. Look for Rudolph to score this week.
All right, top picks at defense?
Defense, you may find this one hard to believe, but I'm going with the Chicago Bears. The Bears are hosting the Packers this week, led by none other than Brett Hundley. And you know what? The Bears are 5.5-point favorites as we speak right now. I look for the Bears to hold it down at home.
All right, what's another defensive choice for somebody that wants to maybe not be so out there?
It's pretty out there, isn't it? Yeah, I love the Rams. We talked about the Rams earlier with Robert Woods. I love the Rams at home against Houston. Tom Savage at the quarterback helm, and they're in L.A. this week.
All right, thanks a lot. We will report back next week and see how we did.
Sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
Steve and SRN broadcasting contributor Mike Perlow. And we want to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Sports Report. Remember, you can get us at internetfm.com and kwwradio.com. New shows posted Thursday afternoons for your listening pleasure. So, for Mike Perlow, for Steve Leventhal, for our professor of sports, John Poulter from Toronto, for Jeff Rich from Phoenix, for Doug Russell from Milwaukee, I'm Packer Dave saying thanks a lot for listening. Take care. Have a great week. Come back next week. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Get the bears, come back.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, Dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, Fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless.
to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.